on the air live tonight, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is the number.
Online tonight.
Sir, drop the chalupa. Put it down and back away.
Sir, don't be silly. Drop the chalupa.
I said, drop the chalupa.
Put it down, man.
Yeah, drop the chalupa.
Now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
I'm Max. Welcome to Online Tonight, where we talk about the latest in tech and pop culture, plus some random thoughts that I think are cool or nerdy, geeky, whatever term you want to use. We also answer your tech questions, which you can submit via our toll-free telephone number at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. We also take your text and your emails. Give us a ring via text 951-395-1017, 951-395-1017. And we'll also take your emails. Show at onlinetonight.com is the address. Show at onlinetonight.com.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
All right. The toll-free telephone number is available, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. Our toll-free telephone number. Ms. Victoria is taking your calls, going through your texts and your emails. Let's get started into something that's, you know, once in a lifetime, from what I understand. It's the total eclipse of the sun on April 8th. And here's a few things that you might want to know about it. It is the total solar eclipse will occur April 8th, as I mentioned. It passes over Mexico, the United States, and Canada. The eclipse will be visible to millions of people across those countries, 32 million of which are in the U.S. alone. Now, the total solar eclipse over the contiguous U.S. will not happen until August of 2044, the next one, meaning if you want to see it, you got to see it now or you got to wait 20 years. During a total solar eclipse, the moon, it completely blocks the sun, so it's not a partial in any way. A partial is, you know, when you can see a little bit of the sun behind it. This is a complete blockage. And, of course, it starts off as a partial. And then it is got something called the Bailey's beads effect, and you'll get a diamond ring, and then it will be completely blocked out, and then it goes away, so it kind of reverses the process. The eclipse will be visible across, as I mentioned, several parts of Mexico, Canada, and more than 10 U.S. states, with a partial eclipse in all 49 states. Safety precautions include that you should be using a certified eclipse glass, pair of glasses, or a handheld solar viewer, and you want to avoid looking directly into the sun if you're not using those protective types of things. Scientists use eclipse to study the sun and its interaction with the Earth, conducting various projects during the event, such as observing the sun's cornea and tracking radio wave behavior. So if you're in one of those states, congratulations. I'm envious. I'm in Southern California, so I'm really not going to get to see it. But if you are going to watch it, I want you to be safe. And so what you want to do is you want to make sure that you have legitimate eclipse glasses. Some convenience stores and discount stores have been selling fake eclipse glasses, and you want to check those out. Here's a couple things that you can look forward to see if you have the right ones. They emphasize that the importance of using certified eclipse glasses for safety is very important. Again, because it's a once-in-a-20-year opportunity. Counterfeit glasses are becoming prevalent in the market, and they pose risk to your eyeball safety. So, you know, vision, at least for me, is very important. I want to make sure that I'm not going to hurt myself in any way. The only safe time to view the sun without protection is during the totality phase of the total eclipse of the sun. During the way and the waning of that process, you can damage your eyes. Certified eclipse glasses or handheld solar viewers should meet the ISO 12312-2 safety standard, and it should be printed on the label or something like that. If you have sunglasses, just regular sunglasses or non-certified eyewear, those are not safe to use during the eclipse. So be careful. The American Astronomical Society, or AAS, warns against counterfeit glasses, and they have a guidance on how you can spot them to make sure that you're safe and that you're buying from reputable manufacturers and resellers. Testing these types of glasses for indoors and outdoor use before is recommended that you check them out before you even, you know, put yourself in danger. Eye damage from viewing the sun without proper protection can lead to permanent vision impairment or blindness. Parents should educate children on safe ways of viewing and supervise them to make sure that they are using their protective eyewear and not doing something dangerous. I found this interesting. Animals. During the Great American Eclipse of 2017, researchers noticed some unusual behavior in zoo animals. Giraffes started just galloping around, tortoises started mating, and gorillas were getting ready for bedtime. These behaviors were documented at the Riverbank Zoo and Garden in Columbia, South Carolina, and the Nashville Zoo at, where is that, Grasmere, I think, and some other zoos around the country. With the upcoming solar eclipse, researchers plan to study animal behavior at different zoos within the path of the totality to see what other things they can learn from the past experiences. Dr. Adam Rose from North Carolina State University leads the Solar Eclipse Safari Project, and he is inviting citizen scientists to observe and report any animal behavior during the eclipse. So if you have horses or pigs or goats or chickens or dogs or whatever on your ranch or something like that, just take a few moments to see what their behavior is, jot it down, and then you can submit that if you want. The project aims to gather as much data from various environments, zoos, cities, mountains, farms, etc., to understand how are the animals responding to the eclipse. Of course, NASA has the Eclipse Soundscape Project, which seeks to observe the animal behavior and human interactions or reactions during the eclipse, and they're taking written reports and audio recordings. Animal responses to solar eclipse may be influenced by the change in light or the temperature or just feeling the vibe of the things around them. Sometimes they'll kind of have this shared consciousness where people get a little nervous, and so they may feed on that. So that might be interesting. If you are a citizen scientist and you're interested in contributing, you want to help the researchers better understand that, I will see if I can find a link, and I'll put it up in the show notes. Something I thought was odd is it's been kind of dormant for a little while, but the CERN Hydro Collider, the Large Hadron Collider, or I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce it. I always just use the initials, which is LHC. They're going to fire it up during the total solar eclipse and conduct some experiments to see, you know, to see if they can figure out some of the mysteries of dark matter. This always concerns me when they fire that thing up, because of course you've got the conspiracy theorists who say this is just a way to create a black hole, and then we're going to get all, you know, sucked into there and all that stuff. I don't know. I'm not that type of scientist, a physicist, or whatever it is. So I'm curious to see, you know, what kind of happens. I hope I'm knocking on wood and my head to make sure that it's going to go well and that we don't end up doing something completely crazy. The LHC's mission is to validate theories proposed by physicist Professor Higgs from the Higgs Boson. You would know that from that very popular TV show. And they are studying the impact of mass to particles and stuff like that. So if those are things you're interested in, then keep an eye out for a CERN report coming out the week after the 8th. Are you going to check out the solar eclipse? Where are you located? How are you going to view it? Let me know. 1-800-39-ONLINE. Stay tuned. Alright, this is Geek Speak, where we take a tech term and turn it into plain English right before your very ears. This hour's Geek Speak is URL. This portion of the show is powered by Anchor. I have used Anchor products for quite a while now, and I did not know that they are the world's number one mobile charging brand with over 200 million products sold worldwide. They've been a pioneer in the charging technology space for over 10 years. I'm interested in the Powerhouse 767. Think of it as a giant battery-operated generator. It has 13 charging ports and outlets. It's great for RVs, outdoor recreation, home backup. Find all the amazing Anchor products at OLTTV.com/Anchor. That's OLTTV.com/ANKER. Now, URL. A URL, also known as a Uniform Resource Locator, is a unique identifier used to locate a resource on the Internet. It is also referred to as a web address. URLs consist of multiple parts, including the protocol and the domain name, that tell a web browser how and where to retrieve a resource. End users use URLs by typing them directly into the address bar of a browser or by clicking a hyperlink found in a your email or on a different web page, bookmark. Other applications can also link to websites by embedding a URL. It does have a structure. The first part is the protocol, usually like HTTPS, but there are other ones like Mail2, and then there would be an email address, and then when you clicked on that URL, it would then open up your mail app and address it for you. The second part is the site, so in our case, onlinetonight.com, and then the last part after the slash is called the path. So in our case, /store would take you to the specific page or to onlinetonight.com's store page or the location. And that's all made possible by a URL. That is this hour's Geek Speak.
Online Tonight. No Boy or Girl Scouts were harmed in the production of this show. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right. Breaking news. I just got this. I thought I would share it. AT&T is notifying users of a data breach and resets millions of passcodes. So if you got one of those AT&T has changed your passcode notification in your email, it might actually be legit. AT&T said it began notifying millions and millions of customers about the theft of personal data, which they recently discovered on the dark web. Over 7.6 million current AT&T account holders and 65 million former account holders information was found on the dark web, and it includes things like your social security number, address, phone number, things like that. The company said it has already reset the passcodes of current users and will be communicating with other account holders whose sensitive information was found on those websites. Now, they are not saying if their own servers were breached or if one of their partner vendors was breached. Apparently, the compromise happened several years ago, but they're only coming forward with it now. Not only were your social security numbers, your email address, mailing address, phone number, birth dates, and your passwords were all listed there. So you want to just make sure that you get in there, change your information, So just be careful so that you are not necessarily impacted by that. Now, we was got a text message from a listener, and it said, "Hey, Max, I understand that you're in SoCal, so you might want to watch the eclipse on television if you can't get a good viewing location." Yeah, apparently Southern California, which is where we're at, is only going to have a partial. We're not going to get to see the total eclipse of the sun, as they say. But you can, you know, my I have relatives that like to watch the fireworks on New Year's on television. And I'm not necessarily a big fan of that. I don't really feel like the experience is the same. I mean, I probably will go out and see what I can see in my own area, even if it's just a partial. But if you are interested, ABC News and National Geographic will be hosting a two-hour live special called Eclipse Across America on Monday, the 8th, which is next week, a week from tomorrow. The special will be airing from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, and it will be available on ABC, National Geographic Channel, Nat Geo Wild. They'll also have it on streaming on Disney Plus and Hulu via the ABC News Live channel. It'll be hosted by David and Lindsay. I guess they're, you know, anchors over there at the ABC network. And they will be reporting live from Burlington, Vermont, not the coat factory, but the city in that state. Some scientists or some other hosts, I guess, I don't know if they're scientists, from Nat Geo will also be around, and they will have an astrophotographer, Babic, and I'm not even going to try to say his last name because I'll probably mess it up, and an astrophysicist there to give you additional information on the eclipse. Just one more quick thing. I mentioned how to find out if you have a fake pair of glasses. I found this from CNN, and they are saying that you can they have different brands that they're recommending that you check out. And so this is the information that they have, because, you know, safety is important. And NASA is reporting on the website. NASA website has some of the best places to see the solar eclipse, like states like Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, obviously, Maine, and Texas. So definitely not in my area. For example, people in Indiana, specifically Evansville, will experience the eclipse at 12:45 p.m. Central Time, with a maximum darkness at 2:04 p.m. So if you're interested in what kind of glasses you can get, there are a couple brands that you might be able to find between now and then. I'm not sure how to pronounce some of these, so I might have to spell some of them for you. But Kessef, K-E-S-S-E-P-H, Solar Eclipse Glasses. They come in a 10-pack, and they have the American flag on them, so they're available for like $12 on Amazon or maybe. There's also a pair of binoculars. These are the Eclipse Safe binoculars from Celestron, the 10x25 Eclipse Smart Solar Binoculars. You might check those out. Those are around $40. Medical King Solar Eclipse Glasses. These have like a little star field on them that looks pretty good. And then there are some clip-ons that you can get. But you want to make sure that they do have the safety label and that they are honestly certified for you. I would not chance it by going to the convenience store and just picking up a couple dollar one. My eye health is more important to me than that. If you're going to be watching it and you want to send us some photos, you can head over to onlinetonight.com and in our contact page, let us know what you got. And then I'll respond and you can send me some photos. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is live and on the air at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online Tonight.
Now stay tuned for a commercial break and 28 minutes of dead air.
One of my absolute favorite shows, News Radio. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you so much for joining me. Greatly appreciate it. My name is Max. Name of the show is Online Tonight. It's about 24 minutes before the hour. Our toll-free telephone number again is 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. We'd love to hear from you that way. It's usually better because that way we can have a conversation. If you send a text and an email, which I'll give you in just a moment, it's really one way, and you'll never know if we answered your question on the air unless you listen to the whole thing. But if you want an immediate answer, the toll-free telephone number is the best way to do it.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
All right, that toll-free telephone number one more time, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. If you do want to send a text or an email, the text is 951-395-1017, 951-395-1017, and some people have to pay for text, so keep that in mind. You can email us, show@onlinetonight.com, that's S-H-O-W @onlinetonight.com. Let's jump into a little bit of Apple news. We know that earlier in the year, the Apple Vision Pro was released, and it starts at $3,499. Well, this is the first discount that we have seen. It is from Woot, and you can save $200. It's listed for $32.99. Now, the headset is in new condition and comes with a one-year Apple manufacturer's limited warranty. It features all the things that you need, the 21W light seal. I think it has a 21-watt charger. It comes with the light seal. It has the small solo knit band and the small dual loop band. Now, buyers should be careful to make sure they size it correctly for them before they purchase it, as sizing mismatches may prevent taking advantage of, you know, the discount, according to the Woot site. The sale marks the first discount seen from any major retailer since the launch of the Apple Vision Pro, which was back in February. The sale will last until the stock runs out. And if you ordered it today, yesterday, today, or maybe on the April Fool's Day, you should get it between the 8th and the 10th. Again, it is while supplies last. Woot has provided further details about sizing, so if you're interested, check that out on the Woot site. Something that Apple has released is the first sports film shot in immersive video format for the Vision Pro. And it is a 180-degree 3D video experience, which also includes spatial audio. Now, the film showcases highlights from the 2023 Major League Soccer Cup playoffs, and it is available for free in the Apple TV app. It's available now. It showed up, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday, but that time has passed, so if you just go and look for it now, you could definitely do that. The narration for the special video is from the MLS Season Pass broadcasters, Tyler Twelman and, I'm not sure how you say Jake's last name, but I'll just call him Jake. Zivin, I'm guessing, Z-I-V-I-N. And they're focusing on the Columbus Crew and the LAFC players. The film adds to the existing immersive video content in the app, including documentaries like Adventure and Wildlife. In addition to the MLS film, there are now 5 different immersive video content for Apple Vision Pro users. Each is about, they're short. They're not very long. Let's just put it that way. Apple had wanted to expand the video content pipeline to include full series and films in the future, so they're working on that. And the Apple Vision Pro, as you know, came out in February in the U.S., but it should be available in other countries a little bit later this year. This is a rumor, kind of a rumor, according to 9to5Mac.com, that some of the Vision Pro engineers that were previously working on that project have now been moved or reassigned to the folding iPhone and or iPad project, according to some supply chain reports. I'm not sure where 9to5Mac got their information. The launch of a foldable iPhone has been rumored for a while, but it is apparently has been delayed to a couple of years, to 2026 or 2027. The suppliers that were working on demo stock and pre-issue things Apple is very good about regulating the schedule on when things are made, how many things are made, so they have a general idea for the ramp up. And apparently recent reports indicate that the display suppliers like Samsung and LG have been providing some samples of folding screens that range in the sizes of 7 to 8 inches. But apparently those samples have declined in volume, and so maybe Apple's delaying it. Despite the delay, major component manufacturers are expected to continue based on the schedule. I mean, if Apple says we want X number of units every month, why would you not make them for them, right? The movement of the ProVision engineers to the folding project suggests that Apple is, you know, maybe doing a shift, trying to better their launch dates. But things are looking like they're being delayed, at least internally. Again, that's all rumor, speculation. Don't really have any concrete news in that area. So we're just, you know, I think they're using their sources to share with you what they know. And in some cases, it might be true or not true. Something that's definitely true is that Apple has announced that the Worldwide Developer Conference, or WWDC, will happen in June, from June 10th to June 14th, 2024. Now, what's nice is the event will include a special in-person event at Apple Park in Cupertino on June 10th, where they will be revealing iOS 18, iPadOS 18, watchOS 11, tvOS 18, macOS 15, Vision OS 2, probably. Those are all expected to be there. WWDC is free for all developers online, and it features online sessions and labs showcasing the latest software advancements across all of Apple's hardware. The keynote will be live streamed, of course, in the developer app, Apple's website, and Apple's YouTube channel, so you'll be able to get it in all those places. Additional videos and information shared will be added throughout that week during the event. Now, a special in-person event will be held for developers and students, but it has limited availability. So attendees who want to be there need to be either pre-selected or to enter Apple's lottery system. There's also, I'm going to jump ahead to a different article because it's developer related. Apple has launched a new webpage, which is the Develop in Swift Tutorials. It's aimed at developers who are learning how to code in Swift or Xcode or Swift UI. The tutorials are designed for beginners and cover fundamental topics, including installing Xcode, how to create your first projects, building your first sample apps. Apple likes to have these tutorials accessible to everyone, so even those without prior experience can get their hands and create something fun, hopefully. The content is organized into chapters covering different aspects of development, and it shows you how Xcode works. It talks about views and structures, layouts, how to create buttons and states, lists, text fields, all kinds of stuff. And apparently they've added some information on how you can make something for the Apple Vision Pro. Developers are always encouraged to experiment and customize. And in some cases, you can even submit, if you're a student, you can submit your work and be considered. Apple has said that they've notified some of the winners of the 2024 Swift Student Challenge, and that will be made available at the WWDC dates and as well as highlighted on their website. So, are you into software development? What platforms do you like to do? Are you a Java person, a C++ person? Do you know what Objective-C is, or Swift, or Python? Are you a Ruby? You know, what kinds of things do you like to do? Let me know. 1-800-39-ONLINE. Would love to hear from you. It's Online Tonight. I'm Max. Stay tuned. This hour's Bookmark This is definitely related to Easter today. Hopefully you had a wonderful Easter. Kabaza.com/Easter is the bookmark. It is a collection of sites that have interesting Easter things there. Some about history, or there's religious elements of Easter. There are links there to information about food that you can make, about decorating eggs and making baskets, so all kinds of Easter things. There are tiles there from everything from religious sites to Food Network. They're all a bunch of different tiles, and you click on them, it'll take you to the thing. And in a way, it's kind of like a little Easter egg hunt to find something that's fun or informative that you might want to find out about Easter. That's over at www.kadaza.com/Easter. I'll spell it for you, Kadaza, Kadaza/Easter. And of course, I'll put the link in the show notes so that you don't have to worry about finding it. That's this hour's Bookmark This, brought to you by Southwest Airlines. Southwest offers flights to over 100 destinations in 42 states, plus Puerto Rico, Central America, the Caribbean, and Mexico. Find out more about all the destinations you could include in your next vacation at OLTTV.com/SWA. That's OLTTV.com/SWA.
Online Tonight.
357 Magnum. The original point-and-click interface. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right. If you are into Blackberries or especially the keyboards, and you have an iPhone, well, then you're going to be excited that the company behind the Klix physical keyboard accessory for iPhone has decided to expand their offerings to include more models. According to an email shared by Parker, who is, I guess, one of the people at the company, and it looks like Ortonelli. I apologize, Parker, if I said your last name wrong. I'd love to have you on the show sometime. The iPhone 15 Pro version of the keyboard will start shipping globally at the middle of the month, April 15th. Additionally, the iPhone 15 Pro Max and the iPhone 14 Pro Max versions are estimated to be shipping by the end of the month or early in May, depending on which version of the device you want. Now, Klix began shipping the iPhone 14 Pro version of the keyboard in February, which is the only model derived delivered to customers so far. The keyboard was originally announced right around CES. So I think it was maybe the week before CES, which happens every January in Las Vegas. So they made their announcement there. Now, the keyboard is inspired by the classic BlackBerry smartphone, and it functions as a physical keyboard and a protective case for your iPhone, and it connects to the device via USB-C or Lightning port, depending on the model of the phone that you have. Now, it does make the phone a little bit bigger, so it's got an added size and weight. So some people may or may not like that, but if you like the old-school typing experience, just like the BlackBerry, well, then you'll probably enjoy it. The feature of the Klix keyboard includes dedicated keys for emojis and dictation. They're backlit, And they have a pass-through charging port so that you're not just giving up the port. You still have access to charge it and use your headphone dongle or whatever. It still, of course, supports wireless charging right through the case. Now, it uses a physical keyboard, so it has physical buttons. It's not this on-screen experience. You have a physical keyboard, and it has the shortcuts on there that you might be used to. They have a Command H, which will get you to the home screen, and Command Space will get you to a spotlight search. Now, these clicks were co-founded by the well-known tech personalities Mr. Mobile and Crackberry Kevin, and they started around $140 in the U.S., available in London Sky and Bumblebee Color. So one is kind of a blue and one is a yellow. And they have a little bit of silicon on the front and a kind of a leather texture on the back. They claim it's a vegan leather, so it's obviously a faux leather. If you go to their website right now, I think they're sold out, but you're going to be able to add your name to a list and be notified when future click keyboards are available, so you'll want to check that out. RCS. RCS is a group of technology companies that have come together and said, we want to standardize on messaging, especially between smartphones. You've got iMessages or messaging on an iPhone, which is very different than you have on your Android. And when someone from an Android texts you, you know, it's green and it may not include the emojis. It definitely isn't going to have like the fireworks and the confetti and the spotlight and some of the other things that Messages allows you to do on your iPhone. But Google and others have been really pushing Apple to support the RCS standard format. And in November of last year, Apple did say that they are going to be supporting it. It stands for Rich Communication Services in the Messages app. But during that time, Apple said, yeah, it'll show up sometime in 2024. Google has now revealed a little bit more about when we might expect to see RCS on an iPhone. Google said that it'll be around fall. And that time frame is very interesting because we just talked about Worldwide Developer Conference, where you're going to a lot of developers are going to learn about the newest operating systems, and of course iOS 18 is going to be there, and they usually release the beta mid-year, and then sometime around September, October is when you would see the operating system released to iPhones in general, and then usually around October is when you get 18.1. And so I think Google is trying to kind of say that around 18.1, around October, November, you're going to see RCS support on the iPhone. And that will bring what Google feels is modern messaging features between iPhone and Android phones. But I would say that if you asked an Apple employee, Apple engineer, Apple marketing, that of course they have. You know, they have modern messaging features and more. So you might be interested in that. Do you find that you are distracted by any text messages that you get from a different kind of phone? Do these really bother you? Or do you feel like you're somehow limited by not being able to send them confetti or an emoji or something like that? You know, I sure don't. Hey, don't forget, you can head over to OLTTV.com/store and check out our merchandise. We got some shirts and mugs and tote bags and things like that. And don't forget, you can go to the website OnlineTonight.com where you can check out the show notes, listen to the podcast, or subscribe. Stay tuned.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart, producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guest, and callers, and are not necessarily those of the station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.
We're taking your calls right now at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
Apparently made $300 today from internet orders.
And we're doing a good deed by bringing alcohol to shut-ins and people under house arrest.
Now, from the craziest city on the planet, this is Online Tonight, on the air toll-free at 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. And now, the host of Online Tonight, Max.
Thank you so much for joining me. I greatly appreciate you including me in your week. My name is Max. The name of the show is Online Tonight, where we talk about tech, pop culture, and just random things that I think are cool or nerdy, or this goes under the more category. But more importantly, I'd love to hear from you. Love to answer your tech questions, talk about pop culture. So give me a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546 is our toll-free telephone number. You can also submit your questions or comments via text or email. Our text is 951-395-1017. 951-395-1017. I am supposed to mention that sometimes you get charged for sending texts, so just be aware of that. Most people do not get charged for email, so you might want to do that instead. show@onlinetonight.com, S-H-O-W, show@onlinetonight.com. But really, the best way is to give us a call, 1-800-39-ONLINE. That way we can have a conversation.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers, so you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
All right, 1-800-39-ONLINE. Miss Victoria's taking your calls, checking your texts and your emails, so let us know what you think. Just a little bit about safety and security in this section. I wanted to share with you that AirTags, you want to, Apple has AirTags, and they actually just went on sale last week for the cheapest I've seen for a four-pack on Amazon. But the Vermont authorities are warning residents to check for hidden AirTags after road trips to Canada, due to multiple cases of people finding them on their cars. Criminals are believed to be using AirTags to track the location of cars before eventually stealing them, possibly as part of a larger car theft ring. A Massachusetts resident Ethan Yang, discovered an AirTag hidden on the front grill of his car after traveling back from Montreal, prompting his Find My Safety feature to alert him. Apple has this, you know, Find My, and it has a safety feature, and it told them that there was a strange one nearby. Burlington, Vermont police have received several reports of people finding AirTags in their cars after traveling to Canada. A cyber analyst named Ryan suggests that criminals in Montreal may be using technology to track and steal cars, and then they are selling the cars. Well, that makes sense. I would think they wouldn't steal the car to get their AirTag back and then sell the AirTag. That's a little joke. Not a good one. Apple's AirTag safety feature includes alerts for unrecognized AirTags traveling with you, and with the ability to make the AirTag play a sound via the Find My app, so you can find these things if they're on your luggage, on your person, or on your car. Authorities advise understanding the basic security features of such devices to prevent potential criminal activity. So you might want to check that out. If you're worried about it, fire up your phone and it should have that feature. I think you have to be on either 16 or 17 or higher for it to find those AirTags. So in some cases, you might want to update your phone, but it's up to you. Something you definitely want to update is your version of Chrome. So every year they have this hacking competition, and this year it was in Vancouver, and Google Chrome patched 7 security vulnerabilities, including 2 zero-day exploits that were found during this hacking competition. The first 0 day, also known as the CVE 2024-2887, involved a high security type confusion weakness in the WebAssembly open standard, and that was exploited by Manfred Paul. The second 0 day, I'm not going to read you the number, was a use after free weakness in the WebCodecs API, and that was exploited by a group of hacking labs that was led by Mr. Lee. Both vulnerabilities allowed remote attackers to execute arbitrary code via a crafted HTML page, and it targeted specifically Chrome and Edge, which means that any website that had this extra code added to it could put your Chrome or Edge browser at risk. Now, Google fixed the releases for the 0 day in the stable version, also known as 1.23.0.6312, both 86 and 87 for Windows and Mac. And the version for Linux, if you're using Linux, is 123.0.6312.86 for Linux users. Now, Mozilla also had to patch Firefox for some of the same things that Mr. Manfred found on the same day that they were demoed. Now, the nice thing is that during the competition, which concluded on March 22nd, security researchers can earn $1 million+ for demonstrating 29 zero-day exploits. And they were able to do that over a couple days. Manfred Paul, as an example, was a winner, and he earned over $200,000 in cash prizes by successfully targeting Apple Safari, Chrome, and Edge browsers. So grab those updates. Make sure you're protected. Don't visit any websites that you're unfamiliar with, especially if it looks, you know, like it might be for illegal downloads or games or hacker tools or things like that. You might just end up getting exploited yourself. Something else you might want to protect yourself from is people getting your iPhone password. To protect against getting your iPhone password, sometimes these reset attacks occur. You want to decline system update alerts. If you receive multiple password reset requests via system level alerts, just select don't allow, and that will decline them. If you get suspicious calls, don't answer the calls, even if the ID, the caller ID, appears to be from Apple support or a similar official sounding name. Attackers are using call spoofing to make these calls seem legitimate. Try not to give your personal information out. Attackers may try to obtain a one-time passcode from you during a call to take over your Apple account. Never share online codes or personal information over the phone. An Apple tech will never ask you, oh, we just sent a PIN number to your phone. Will you give it to us? They should never do that. Verify callers. If you are in doubt, if you got a call from Apple unsolicited, and they're trying to help you with a security problem, it's probably not Apple. Just hang up. And then call Apple's official support number at 1-800-275-2273 in the U.S. To make sure that they actually are the ones trying to reach you. Apple doesn't usually proactively call people like that. So it's important that you limit the amount of password resets that you get. Keep asking for them, and don't respond to them on your phone. Definitely don't respond to them if somebody calls you and asks you for information. You don't want to do that. Some other phishing scams that you may or may not have heard about lately are some links that are on X that are actually redirecting users to different sites than expected. An example is there was a tweet that looked like a YouTube link, but it ended up taking people over to DessertTasting.com, and you probably don't want to do that. Scammers are using advertisements for various problems, such as deceiving users and raising questions about ad vetting. X kind of has a weird moderation when it comes to content moderation, and those are definitely highlighted by these incidents and, maybe questioning some people's trust in X. Formerly Twitter, I guess, is what you want to you want to call it. Hey, we talked a lot about the eclipse last hour. If you're, I want to make sure that you're protected during the eclipse. So make sure you get the right kind of glasses, get the right kind of binoculars or the lens, and educate your kids not to look right up at the sun unless they have eye protection. So just a kind of a quick PSA. I want everyone to be safe and not to get any eye damage or blind. If you'd like to hear more information on the eclipse, different locations where you can learn about it, and it's like a 1 in 20 year opportunity. So check it out. Stay tuned. All right, this is Geek Speak, where we take a tech term and turn it into plain English right before your very eyes. This hour's Geek Speak is DNS, David Nancy Stewart. This portion of the show is brought to you by Paramount Plus, your favorite shows, including Star Trek series, Transformer movies, and NCAA men's basketball, are now streaming on Paramount Plus. Find out all they have to offer at OLTTV.com/stream. That's OLTTV.com/stream. Now, DNS. DNS stands for the Domain Name System. It is a phone book. Get rid of that. Think of it as a phone book for the internet. Humans access information online through domain names like Online Tonight or SmartMovieShow.com. Those are easy to remember because they're words and like names. But web browsers interact using IP addresses or IP numbers. So what DNS does is it translates domain names to those numbers so that the browsers can load your internet pages, your internet resources. Each device connected to the internet, I don't know if you know this, has a unique IP number. Think of it like a social security number so that other machines can find them. Those numbers are supposed to be unique. And just for like, if you were to look at the IP address for Online Tonight, it would be different than the IP address for Apple.com or Google.com. DNS servers eliminate the need for humans to remember all these crazy numbers like, 192.168.1.1 or 17. Whatever. We don't think that way as humans. We're better with words. OnlineTonight.com, SmartMovieShow.com, easier to remember than a bunch of numbers. And it gets even crazier when you look at IPv6 numbers. And so that's the DNS server's job, or domain name service job, is to translate words into the numbers so that your web browser and your mail and all those things can find the right server on the internet. That's this hour's Geek Speak, DNS.
If redness, swelling, or irritation occurs, increase your listening time by 1 hour per day. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right. For some reason, I actually thought that this offer expired tomorrow, April 1st, but apparently it expires on April 2nd. I'm not sure, so I wouldn't risk it. I would go ahead and grab it right away. If you're a T-Mobile customer, you can get free Major League Baseball TV, because, you know, the season just started. We're like 3 or 4 games into the season. And if you would like to get your own MLB TV for free through T-Mobile, you can. Customers can redeem the promotion between March 26th and April 1st. See, I'm getting different dates depending on where you read it and who it's from. So make sure you do it tonight or tomorrow. The offer includes access to MLB TV for the entire 2024 season. Users must sign up for the MLB TV through T-Mobile by Tuesday morning by 4 a.m. or 4:59 a.m. Eastern time. So if you're on the West Coast like myself, you basically should do it by tomorrow the 1st. The offer is limited to T-Mobile and Metro by T-Mobile customers on qualifying plans. Now, of course, MLB TV will still have blackout restrictions, but will allow on-demand viewing of games. Without the promotion, MLB TV usually costs you $150 for the season. So that is a very nice savings. And I definitely have taken advantage of it. I've already put my redeem code in there, and I'm very excited. I've been watching, you know, some of the baseball teams that I like to follow. Speaking of sports, a media group recently did a survey. A survey was conducted by CasinoReviews.net, and they found out that over 57% of the people that they asked that watch TV sports would be willing to pay $50 or more a month for a sports-only streaming app. Now, this, of course, may or may not have been partly arranged by the three big companies that just announced a large sports streaming app plan. So as you may or may not know, Disney, Fox, and Warner Brothers Discovery are set to launch a sports-themed app later this year alongside Disney's revamped ESPN Plus streaming service in 2025. Pay TV and online services like DirecTV, Fubo, and YouTube TV offer select national sports coverage, and those are usually $75 a month, and some of the annual plans go up to $450 a month. But the people that were surveyed, respondents said they were willing to pay an average of $32 a month for dedicated access to live sports, or $27 a month for access solely to their favorite team. So if they would limit it to just their favorite football team, their favorite NBA team, their favorite MLS team, favorite MLB team. NFL fans are the most interested in a standalone streaming service. Over 81% of them said, yes, we would like to do that. NBA fans were next. And again, all of those sports fans are willing to spend $50 a month. They would want fewer ads, some integrated sports betting, and the ability to pause and rewind. You know, those are some of the services they would be interested in as part of that survey that came out of the CasinoReviews.net. ESPN will be integrating regional sports into their app. According to the latest news, ESPN said they will take the Regional Sports Network, or RSN, video feeds into the main app and website. Subscribers can access games via a dedicated link with Monumental Sports Network to follow. The initiative aims to reduce consumer confusion and improve access to favorite team. That way you can watch some of the games. Financial details were not disclosed, but the partnership reflects the changing sports media landscape. Now, ESPN Digital drew over 111 million average monthly unique visitors in 2023. The move aims to make games more accessible to fans, according to a spokesperson over at Monumental Sports and Entertainment. So they have a new deal with them to try to bring you some more regional sports games. Threads. I haven't really dealt with Threads too much, but that is Meta's, formerly Facebook's, I guess, Twitter competitor, or however you want to look at it. But Meta's Thread app said that they're going to be offering sports scores starting with NBA games. Mr. Mark Zuckerberg announced the addition, aiming to enhance the app's appeal to sports fans. Users can access sports scores through Thread search before, during, and after a game and engage in team-related conversations. The Threads app is available for free at the App Store, and the latest version is required if you want access to these features. The Threads API will be accessible to creators and developers starting in June, and will be offering more opportunities for customization and innovation, according to Meta. Are you a big sports fan? What are your teams? What do you like? Who's your favorite mascot? Do you watch these things on your phone, or do you prefer them on your big screen? Give me a ring, 1-800-39-ONLINE. I'm Max. Stay tuned.
Looking around for the phone number, it's 1-800-39-ONLINE. 1-800-396-6546.
Online tonight.
What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Hey, my name is Max. The name of the show is Online Tonight. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546. I don't usually talk about the weather because 95% of the listeners are not in Southern California, but I have never seen so much rain in my entire life. It is absolutely crazy how much water we're getting here. How much water are you getting out there? I'd be interested in finding out if you're in a cold zone or if it's starting to heat up yet.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Mint Mobile. Hey, it's not Ryan Reynolds. Mint Mobile is cheaper than those big carriers. So you don't have to buy your socks from the thrift store. Ew. And it must be good, because Ryan's mom was in a commercial. Go get something good at OLTTV.com/mint. That's OLTTV.com/mint. I don't have to spell mint, right?
All right, the phone lines are open, 1-800-39-ONLINE, 1-800-396-6546, toll-free telephone number. You can also send us a text and an email. The email address is show@onlinetonight.com, text 951-395-1017, and here's our movie review for this weekend.
I'm Jennifer. We got an early look at Renegade Nell, a new series rated TV-14, with all 8 episodes available today on Disney+. Nell Jackson is a courageous young widow in 18th century England who's not afraid to stand up for herself and her family. A magical spirit named Billy Blind comes to her aid whenever she is in physical danger, which she learns to use to her advantage. However, she's framed for murder and must go on the run while protecting her 2 younger sisters.
I am Max, and Louisa Harland plays Nell, and Nick Mohammed is Billy Blind. You would know him from Ted Lasso. Jake Dunn is the nasty Thomas Blanchford. Joel Richardson.
Sorry, that's Jolie.
Jolie, thank you. Richardson is Lady.
Eulalia.
Eulalia, who's that?
I don't think we've seen her yet, but okay. She's the most famous person.
And we
in the
see
cast.
The Queen, and we see King George, and we see the magistrates.
Prince George. He's
oh, Prince.
King.
Okay. And we see the magistrates, and we see. This is. I kind of have a. 2 quick comments. Initially, we were only going to watch 2 of these because there's 8 of them. Because we got an early screening, all 8 are there. We were able to check them out. And somehow we've watched way more than that. You don't like period pieces. So what's going on? Why do you want to continue watching this? Because this is muddy. It's got horses and disheveled people.
I have an idea.
Go ahead.
It's a different period.
And it's 1705.
It's a different group of people in the period. You don't like the stuffy, aristocratic period pieces. Is that what it is?
No. Oh. I'm Victoria, and let me explain.
Okay.
I don't like, other than Monty Python movies, I don't like anything that's set in medieval or prior to medieval times. King Arthur's time.
What about
time
Dick Turpin?
Dick Turpin is in a similar time period, I believe, 1600s, right? So medieval is before that. They have, like, the aristocracy has nice clothes. They have riches. They have nice houses, right?
Fondant cakes.
Yes. People don't live in stone castles and hovels the way like the serfs and the fiefdoms and all that. That time period, I'm less interested in because it's all pigs and mud. And
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Now, you are referencing Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yes.
Now, if you ever paid attention to that movie, mm-hmm. there are police cars.
That's because it's a fantasy. It doesn't really take place in the... Okay.
Is that why you like it?
Because
there's
like
police
it because
cars?
It's humorous.
Oh, okay.
And that's what I was going to say about this. There is humor in this, not as much as Dick Turpin. Dick Turpin had way more humor, but there's also more of a Like Dick Turpin had more of a modern sensibility to it with kind of the attitudes and the dress and the, you know, those kind of things. This is a little less like that, but still interesting because the characters are very colorful and interesting. And
I have a bone to pick with Miss Jennifer. She said it's kind of funny like Dick Turpin. And so I watched this. Jennifer?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I didn't say it was funny like Dick Turpin. I said it was like Dick Turpin, which I mostly meant because they become highwaymen in that second episode. And that's what Dick Turpin's whole deal is. It does have some humor. It's got the sort of dramaticism to it, especially the bad guy. He's just so ridiculous that you shake your head at him and you say, oh, this is so ridiculous. But then it ends up being bad for Nell. So then you're like, oh no, it was ridiculous and it backfired, you know? So it does have some humor. It has likable characters, and it has some intrigue. There's a big cliffhanger at the end of the second one. So that's where I ended and I'm slightly intrigued. So I might keep watching it, and I do think I like Nell as a character, a strong female character. I like her sisters and the dynamic that, you know, she has with the other guy and who's come along, who was originally from the castle. And so I do like the characters. I think they're a lovable group, and it would be interesting to see where their adventures take them.
I agree. And I like, so Nell reminds me of, I'm not sure who, but maybe some characters from Once Upon a Time, or, you know, how they took the princesses and they made them stronger female characters who fight and do, you know, like Snow White was a big fighter, you know, in Once Upon a Time. So it's kind of taking the damsel in distress and twisting it on her head.
All right, I'm just going to blow all this up.
Okay.
Because from a male perspective, without giving it away, there is to be a male character or entity assisting her. So she gets her power supernaturally, let's say, right?
Yeah.
But yes, she's very strong-willed, obviously, you know, had to deal with a lot of things because her partner died. It's interesting, for whatever reason, that these shows keep kind of, in a way, copying our Flag Means Death, where, you know, she might have been a pirate, and now she comes home, and now she's a highway robber, like Dick Turpin was. So, I mean, it seems like everybody's kind of in the same... Everybody's writing in the same time period, and they all have similar jobs. Final words, Miss Jennifer, maybe.
It's fine. I will maybe keep watching. I really haven't decided yet.
I'll definitely continue watching.
And that's it.
Like I said, I like the strong female character, even if she's assisted other females of the time period, even if they found out that they had that kind of assistance, would not be necessarily as courageous or gung-ho. They might be more concerned that they're going to get hurt, even if it's demonstrated that they wouldn't. She's very outgoing. She's sure. Very daring.
Well, that's why she left in the first place. She hadn't even met her youngest sister until she came back. So she's been gone 8-10 plus years. So she must have left at like 14 or some crazy age, because she doesn't seem that old. I will continue watching. The one thing I'm disappointed about was that the entire town could have helped the guy out in the bar and they didn't.
I think I said movie review, but it's actually a TV series on Disney Plus, if I recall. And since we did that review on Friday, we've watched several others. I'll have to check with Jennifer to see if she's going to how many more she's watched. I'm assuming that she will. Speaking of Disney Plus, Hulu is now an option within the Disney Plus app. You still have the separate Hulu app, but you don't need it anymore if you have Disney Plus. You can just go over, you know how they have like Star Wars and
and Marvel and other things like that. You can just go over and check out the little tile over there that represents Hulu. So that's pretty neat. Disney's been working hard to bring that technology and all that stuff over to you. So let me know. Do you like the integration or do you like having the separate apps? It definitely makes searching a little bit easier because now you can search all the titles instead of having to pop in between two different apps to see if something's available. So I do kind of like that feature. Don't forget, you can head over to onlinetonight.com where you can check out the website and all of the show notes are there, the web links, the podcast, and then I'll tell you more about the store. Stay tuned. All right, this hour's Bookmark This is really long, so I made you a shortcut. It's olttv.com/April Fools. Just do that all lowercase. olttv.com/April Fools. I love April Fool's Day, which is tomorrow, and I'm going to give you the first three. I'm hoping Miss Victoria doesn't listen because I was going to do number three because I think that would be a lot of fun. But I used to work in technology, and they really took this holiday or this day seriously. I remember they filled a car with ping pong balls. They put fish in the water cooler. They did keyboard things where all the keys were reversed or flipped or whatever. A lot of fun. But there are a bunch, 60 different best April Fool's pranks. The first one is create Brussels sprout cake pops that look super appetizing. But is a quite a surprise when somebody bites into them. Fill up a donut. Number two, fill up a donut box. You know, like get a Krispy Kreme or a Dunkin' Donut box and put veggies inside and then leave it in the break room and see how people react. And then this one is the one I was going to do to Miss Victoria, but I think she'll figure it out because I'm going to share it with you now. And that is we like to watch a lot of shows on streaming. And, you know, it keeps track of what episode you're on. So as an example, Masked Singer or Resident Alien or any of the other number of shows that we watch, go through the episodes and skip two or three ahead and hit play and don't actually watch it without the person and then stop. And then when you sit down together, it'll say episode 8 or episode 9 and they'll say, wait a minute, have you been watching it without me? I thought this was... this was our thing. And there's 57 more pranks there. And you can check it out at this hour's Bookmark This, olttv.com/April Fools. And I have an S at the end. olttv.com/April Fools. That's this hour's Bookmark This, brought to you by Anchor. You probably know Anchor for their dongles, as I call them. They call them hubs. The Anchor 655 USB-C hub is an 8-in-1. It includes an SD card slot, micro SD card slot, two USB ports. Those are 10 gig ports, audio Ethernet, and HDMI, all in one sleek little device. It's available in two colors. Check out all the Anchor products at olttv.com/anchor. That's olttv.com/anker.
If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you tried. This is Online Tonight. Now, here's Max.
All right, sad news for us podcasters, or maybe not, but we've got to do some adjustments for people who are fans of podcasts. Google is shutting down its podcast app in the U.S. on Tuesday, April the 2nd, and they are urging users to migrate over to YouTube Music. Users are required to move their subscriptions to YouTube Music to continue streaming their favorite podcast. The decision to shut down Google Podcasts is part of Google's plan to centralize its audio services all under the YouTube umbrella. YouTube Music recently gained the ability to support podcasts globally and allows users to upload their RSS feed. Google aims to become a bigger player in the podcasting space by transitioning podcasting to YouTube, especially considering the rising interest in video podcasts. Users who missed the migration deadline will have additional time through about July to save their subscriptions using the app's export feature. While the shutdown date applies only to the U.S., Google plans to discontinue Google Podcasts globally later this year before the end of 2024. Google confirmed the shutdown date for the U.S., but has not shared what the timeline is for the rest of the world. So don't forget, if you are publishing your podcast through Google Podcasts, you have until Tuesday to get your RSS added to YouTube Music. If you're a subscriber, then you're going to be finding your podcast over at YouTube Music. YouTube Music is rolling out some new features on their website. Now, they've been doing this on the iPhone and on the Android devices for a while, but if you are using YouTube Music now on a website, you can download songs and podcasts right onto your device so that you can use them on an airplane or while you're traveling on a train or something like that where you may have spotty or no Wi-Fi service. I like to kind of load up a bunch of podcasts and songs if I go on a cruise because I hate spending the money for the internet and it's always so darn slow. You can't watch a movie and, you know, you get some buffering issues and stuff like that and it's, you know, it's not worth it. I would rather use that money for other things. So I like to download a bunch of podcasts in case I have some downtime on a cruise or when I'm on a plane. Now, I mentioned that mobile apps have had these for a while, but now it's coming to the desktop. So right there I believe you can do it in Chrome and some other browsers. I'm not sure if they're limiting what browsers it works on, but let's see what else we find here. The feature first emerged in February and is now more widely rolling out. With a new download music to listen offline button, it appears in the sidebar in the library tab. Setting up downloads on the web will count against a user's 10-device limit, and users can clear everything they've saved in settings, downloads. On the album single page, users will find the familiar download button between Save to Library and the three-dot overflow menu with the downloading indicator showing progress. After downloading, the download tab appears in the library page, allowing users to filter through their playlists, their podcasts, their songs, albums, etc. Downloads will remain available for as long as the device is active within a 30-day period. So if you go on a 10-day cruise, you know, you download what you need, and then you don't have to worry about making an internet connection for, you know, another 20, 30 days. There are some standard restrictions, obviously. The update helps address the lack of native desktop apps for YouTube Music, such as on Chromebooks and some other devices. Web downloads on YouTube Music are supported on Chrome, Edge, Firefox, and Opera, I guess. Those of us using Safari might have some limitations. I just wanted to throw this one in really funny because it's in Southern California. The Murrieta Police Department, which is in Southern California, about 40 miles south of Disneyland, have been sued, or not sued, but asked by the Lego company to stop putting the Lego head and emoji over suspect's face. Apparently, in California, you're not allowed to show the face of a detained criminal or somebody that was booked into the jail. The department has been asked to stop using the logo head on these pictures, which they publish on their website. You can check out our new merch at olttv.com/store. They got shirts and hats and clocks and tote bags. And don't forget to go over to onlinetonight.com where you can get the podcast and more.
Online Tonight is produced and copyrighted by Smart Family Media. All rights reserved. Host Maxwell Smart. Producer and other hats worn by Victoria Smart. Views and opinions expressed are those of the host, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, affiliates, or other advertisers.